This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for October 9th, 2020. Despite vigorous and continuing opposition from ARRL and others, the FCC has ordered the sunsetting of the 3.3 to 3.5 GHz amateur radio secondary allocation. The decision allows current amateur activity on the band to continue, grandfathering the amateur operations subject to a later decision. Amateur operations will be deleted in two phases, the dates to be established. The FCC order will go into effect on November 9th. The FCC's September 30th action followed a 2019 FCC Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, in which the FCC proposed reallocating 3.45 to 3.55 GHz for flexible use service and auctioning the desirable mid-band spectrum to 5G providers. In the run-up to the Commission's decision, ARRL met with FCC staff members to explain its concerns and to answer questions. In subsequent meetings with the wireless advisors to the FCC chairman and two commissioners, ARRL reiterated that continued secondary status for amateurs would not impair or devalue use of the spectrum by primary licensees intending to provide 5G or other services. ARRL noted amateur radio's long history of successful coexistence with primary users of the 9-centimeter band, sharing this spectrum with the federal government and secondary non-federal occupants. The FCC action means that amateur radio will lose access to the 3.5 GHz secondary allocation, even where commercial operations do not exist. ARRL has argued that amateur operations should be permitted unless and until an actual potential for interference exists. ARRL and the Orlando Amateur Radio Club have announced that ARRL's National Convention and Orlando Hamcation, which was to host the convention, have been postponed until February 10th through the 13th, 2022. The convention had been set for next February. ARRL CEO David Minster, NA2AA, said the joint decision came after considering the national public health emergency, including the health and safety of all participants, the uncertainty that continues to impact our organizations, and the reluctance to travel to and attend large events. Hamcation General Chairman Michael Cawley, W4MCA, said that although postponing was a difficult decision, Hamcation's top priority is delivering a safe and successful experience for everyone. Orlando Amateur Radio Club President John Knott and 4JTK noted that holding the convention in 2022 will mark the 75th anniversary of Hamcation, one of the largest annually held gatherings of radio amateurs in the U.S. The published gate figure for 2020 was 24,200 for all 3 days. "We want our Diamond Anniversary show to be an exciting 5-star event," Knott said. "We look forward to seeing you in Orlando in 2022. Cawley said Hamcation may organize some online presentations and programs for what would have been Hamcation 2021 next February. A QSO party is also under consideration. The Hurricane Watch Net, WX4NHC at the National Hurricane Center, the Salvation Army's Saturn, and the Louisiana Amateur Radio Emergency Service HFNet, with support from ARRL Delta Division and the Arkansas Section, announced activations on October 7th for Hurricane Delta. The Hurricane Watch Net activated on 14.325 MHz. WX4NHC monitors the same frequency to gather ground truth reports that may assist NHC forecasters. ARRL Emergency Management Director Paul Gilbert, KE5ZW, noted that Delta was following the same general track that Hurricane Laura did. FEMA announced that channels 1 and 2 of the 60-meter band would be available as necessary for interoperability between U.S. government stations and U.S. amateur radio stations involved in Hurricane Delta emergency communication. Gilbert pointed out that the region is still recovering from Hurricane Laura. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for October 9th, 2020. Here's the AMSAT report from Bruce Page, KK5DO. Two more satellites have reached their end of life. MO-105 decayed in the Earth's atmosphere on September 9th, and MO-106 is due to decay on October 15th. They will be removed from the AMSAT TLEs. Final reminder, if you're interested in attending the free virtual AMSAT Annual Space Symposium and General Meeting, it takes place next Saturday, October 17th. You can still register until 5 p.m. Central Time on Friday, October 16th. Opening remarks begin at 9 a.m. Central, followed by presentations, AMSAT education news on CubeSat simulators, ARIS news, AMSAT engineering report, and then the general meeting. Full information is available at amsat.org under the Events tab. Amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, will soon celebrate 20 years of continuous ham radio operations on the International Space Station. Over its 20 years, ARIS has supported nearly 1,400 scheduled ham radio contacts with schools, student groups, and other organizations. Planning for ARIS began in 1996 as a cooperative venture among national amateur radio and amateur satellite societies with support from their respective space agencies. The ARIS ham radio gear actually arrived on station before the Expedition 1 crew headed by Commander Bill Shepard, formerly KD5GSL. The FCC issued ham radio callsign NA1SS for ISS operations. After Expedition 1 arrived on station, some initial tests with ARIS ham radio ground stations and individual hams confirmed the ham gear was working properly. The first ARIS school contact was made with students at Luther Burbank Elementary School in Illinois on December 21, 2000. While student-to-astronaut radio contacts are a primary objective for ARIS, the capability has also inspired further experimentation for amateur radio in space and the evaluation of new technology. In September, ARIS announced that the initial element of its next-generation ham radio system had been installed in the space station's Columbus module. The new radio system replaces equipment originally certified for spaceflight in mid-2000. According to a SpaceWeather.com report, Scott Tilley, VE7TIL in British Columbia, Canada, received a signal from the NASA Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter flying just 274 kilometers, that's about 170 miles above the red planet's surface. The signal was an X-band carrier containing no data or telemetry. Its purpose is to allow for Doppler tracking, Tilley explained. The rapid change in pitch of the signal is caused by the relative motion of the satellite and the observer. He used a homemade satellite dish in his backyard to hear the orbiter. Tilley enjoys tracking down signals from dead satellites, zombie satellites, and spy satellites, but the MRO was a first for him. The orbiter's signal is weak, but one of the louder signals in Mars orbit, he said. The spacecraft has a large dish antenna it uses as a relay for other Mars missions. With the proximity of Mars these days, it was the perfect time to try. In 2018, Tilley saw the signature of the imager for magnetopause to Aurora Global Exploration, a NASA spacecraft thought to have died in 2005. That discovery delighted space scientists. Solar physicist Leif Svalgaard of the W.W. Hansen Experimental Physics Laboratory at Stanford University has predicted a maximum sunspot number for solar cycle 25 of 128 plus or minus 10. That's slightly better than the just-ended solar cycle 24. The overall average is 132 plus or minus 47. The median is 124, he said. None of these numbers are substantially different, so as he put it, one could perhaps just go with the wisdom of the crowd. All predictions that we consider have the underlying assumption that the sun has not changed its behavior, its spots, so to speak, on a timescale of a few centuries. The Maunder minimum may be a possible violation of that assumption, and that there will be no such changes in the near future in spite of speculative suggestions. Svalgaard characterized the science of solar cycle prediction to be still in its infancy. That, he said, is borne out by the extreme range of predictions for cycle 25. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this has been ARRL Audio News for October 9th, 2020. 73.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.